ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Cam has had as good a spring training as anybody. He and Jeremy Pena, the two best springs. There's a ball down the right field line. Fair ball. That's going to score at least one run. Jeremy Pena's on the move. Tony Parachico waving him home. And Cam Smith heading for third. He is going to start out his Astros career in this stadium with a two RBI triple. And he is fired up.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how you doing?
That was atrocious.
Oh, come on.
That was very bad.
That was fine.
Great B-Max, what up, H-Town? Hey, how are we doing? 713-780-3776. No, it wasn't fine.
It was fine.
No, it was awful. It was really bad.
Fantastic, actually. People have said it was the best one ever.
No one's had time to react.
People have said that. I've heard it.
Okay, you're already annoying me. No Blankers today. Blankers tending to some family matters. So Brian in for Blankers, which I know makes everybody happy. The very popular Brian McDonald filling in for Joel Blank today. The Twitchers are reveling.
Who's a fat guy in his underwear, living in his mother's basement.
Why do you got to throw shots at the Twitchers?
Well, I mean, if we're going to go to war, we're going to go to war.
I'm not at war with them. I love the Twitchers.
No,
the Twitchers
I have no problem with them, but apparently, as you guys love to remind me, they hate me. So if we're going to go to war, we're going to go to war.
You're in your own feels because I didn't say that. I said that they love you.
But I know your tone well enough to, like, unlike some people at the station, I know your tone well enough to know when you're being sarcastic.
Yeah, fair enough. Bleed Blue says it was a little pitchy, BMAC. Yeah, I think it was a little pitchy.
I've heard a lot of derogative things about my voice. I've never heard pitchy as one of them.
Texter says cringy AF, but it's always cringy, so it's on brand. I don't know if he means that you're always cringy or if the what up H-Town, hey, how you doing is always cringy.
I would agree with that, Texter. It's always cringy, so I was trying to lean into the cringe.
Yeah, I think he means not you. I think he means like the actual saying.
100%.
Yeah, I think he does too. King of Twitch says it's true, BMAC, you suck. That's not very nice.
See? I told you
BMAC
is
a fat guy living in his mom's basement. Dang, King.
Who's a fat guy in his underwear living in his mother's basement.
Tied the show. I tried watching some of the games and just couldn't do it. I don't know what games he's talking about. Oh, he's talking about the women's basketball. yeah, I understand what you're saying. Junior Broncos, BMAC, go back in your hole. Hey, Junior Broncos, by the way, since you're here, you owe me a bottle. You lost the Alex Bregman contract bet. So I expect you, Junior Broncos, to pay up for what it's worth. King of Twitch, BMAC has the voice of a monk.
A monk?
Yeah, you don't get it. They don't talk.
Oh, okay.
Worse than that game-winning call y'all played yesterday. Oh, he's talking about Lisa Byington. Oh, man, he called you worse than Lisa Byington.
I didn't think she was that bad.
I gave it a 10 because I'm not a sexist like some others. I would never say that was a bad call. It's beneath me. No, BMAC, he's awesome. There you go. You got one person. That what up H-Town for BMAC is the Temu version. have you ever ordered anything off of? Is it Temu?
No,
Temu?
Yeah, TMU. No, I see those advertisements pop up. Like, it doesn't matter how many times I tell Twitter I'm not interested in this ad, it still pops up like after every fifth tweet. But no, I've never ordered anything off there.
I ordered some truck straps off of them, and they were not very good. They were very cheap.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, it was a bad purchase.
I did look for I don't remember exactly what I was buying for my wife. I didn't actually end up ordering anything from it, but I did, like, I Googled something that I was going to get for my wife. I don't remember what it was.
And one her birthday present?
Yeah, it was either that or anniversary. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, one of the first, like, things that came up on my search, I wish I could remember what the item was something on Temu. But when I remember when I looked at it, I was like, oh, that looks kind of janky. I don't really want that. And so I didn't get it. And then obviously I found out later Temu's not known for the highest quality.
Todd, the show. My kids have ordered a couple things. They eventually show up. Yeah. It's kind of embarrassing that you would purchase a wife's gift.
I didn't, though. That's a bad look.
Yeah, you tried, though. Like, you gave
not
it a,
intentionally. It's
you
not
gave
like
it an
I,
effort.
It's not like I went directly to their website and searched for items. I Googled a certain item, and the first thing that came up in my Google search was something from their website.
Okay. All right. I still don't know if that's acceptable, but it's a little bit better than the story that you're telling, I think. Did you watch any of this Astros game yesterday?
I saw the highlights. I didn't watch the whole game, no. But obviously, the Cam Smith thing was with the triple was exciting. Yonner hit a home run. Ronel Blanco, great. Overall, what you wanted to see out of the team?
Yeah, thank you for your analysis of an exhibition game against the Sugar Land
Spacers.
I went
15 seconds with it.
It was everything you want to see, I guess. Joe Espada did some TV. My biggest takeaway from this, though, and like I don't know if you've seen the lineup today. Joe Espada is treating these two games like a dress rehearsal. He kind of basically said it. He alluded to the fact, because I think it was Julia Morales, you know, they do the manager pregame scrum in the dugout. Everybody talks to him. Hey, Skip, what do you think about this? Hey, Skip, what do you think about that? They did that before the game yesterday. I think it was Julia that asked, like, hey, these games don't matter, but is it good getting them in the, you know, the big league park, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, no, they do matter. Like, this is kind of a dress rehearsal, so kind of alluded to the fact that, hey, like, this is kind of what we're going to look like at the start of the season. So the fact that he's using this as a dress rehearsal, I mean, if you look at yesterday's lineup, like, who started the game is what you think the lineup's going to be. You know, Christian Walker, because he's still, like, getting ABs in West Palm Beach. But you had Altuve, Paredes, Jordan, Yiner, Pena. Like, throw in Christian Walker, and you're looking at your opening day lineup. The lineup again today is very similar with the, like, dress rehearsal aspect of this. Whenever you see what Joe Espada did to the lineup today, it looks very regular season-y. Like, Jose Altuve again leads off, Paredes, Alvarez, Pena, Cam Smith in the lineup. He didn't want to use Yiner Diaz back-to-back days in exhibition, so that's why Yiner's not up there. Caratini's in the seven-hole catching. So back-to-back days, Joe Espada has used these two games as a dress rehearsal. We've heard from not one but two different national baseball guys. Jim Bowden tweeted it out. I think it was Bob Nightingale, who was on the highway to hell with my dear friend Sean Bajani. Love Bajani. And then his co-host Patrick Creighton. I saw it tweeted out yesterday that, yeah, he's going to make the opening day roster. So not one but two national media types have said that Cam Smith's making the opening day roster. The skipper, the most interesting manager in the world, Joe Espada, is treating these games like dress rehearsals. And not once, but twice, Cam Smith's the starting right fielder and batting in the middle of the lineup. I am 99% sure Cam Smith will be on the opening day roster.
Yeah, I would even, like, I mean, it's 1% difference, but I'd be willing to bump it up to 100%. Like, I'm trying to think of the scenario where they treat Cam Smith this way, playing him in right field both days, putting him in the middle of the lineup both days, and then demote him. The logic in the steps of that would make no sense. I think the only way you do this is if Cam Smith is your right fielder to start the season. And it's obviously going to be something we follow very, very closely. Probably the thing we follow closest, other than the actual results of the game, this kid who's only had five games above the single A level, and he's starting the 2025 season in the middle of the lineup as a right fielder position that he's semi-new to. I would say, yeah, it's 99%, or I would even go 100%. He's going to be on this roster to start the season.
Yeah, I think I think you can take it to the bank. There's always a 1% chance for, you know, something out of right field to happen. All the tea leaves are adding up. Like, two national talk heads have talked about it, blah, blah, blah. Oh, Michael Chiara on YouTube said he just got informed he's made it. So let's look at the Twitter here real quick, see if we have any breaking news. We do. Breaking news, Cam Smith has been informed he's made the Astros opening day roster. Cam will make his major league debut Thursday at Daikin Park. So there you go. I'm now 100%.
100%.
Yeah, you nailed it at 100%. I was 1% off. There you go. Breaking news right as we're talking. Cam Smith has – and look, it was put two and two together. The tea leaves were there. Cam Smith, five games above the high A-ball level, is going to make his major league debut. And it goes back to what I was talking about yesterday, B-Mackers.
Are you trying to turn Blankers into something with my name? Just old habits die hard? Okay.
Mackers.
Yeah, let's workshop that.
We'll
B-Mackers does not work.
So, yeah, I think the Astros are going to look either really, really smart by doing this, and it depends on how Cam Smith performs. If Cam Smith comes in and he's like a rookie of the year candidate, he performs like Albert Pujols did as a rookie, look at the big brains on Dana, right? Like, they had the foresight, they believed in the guy, they knew that he was going to be able to handle it, they threw him into the wolves, and he excelled. Or he has a bad rookie year, and you're starting to wonder if they ruined his development. Like, we have no idea how it's going to go. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be good. But if this does not work out, Dana Brown is going to get crushed.
Yeah, I wonder, I can't remember where you and Joel fell in this conversation, but I wonder who's going to get crushed more, because I think Joe Espada has been on this bandwagon as well, as far as moving Cam Smith this quickly up to the majors. I think Dana Brown definitely would take the brunt of it, the majority of it, because ultimately it's his decision and not Joe Espada's, but I don't think Joe Espada would be getting off completely clean free in this, and this would probably be, I think, without a doubt, the biggest blemish so far on Dana Brown's resume. Like, overall, obviously, he comes in after the disastrous moves with Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero and all that happened with Jeff Bagwell. So he comes in after that, and I think for the most part, we've liked most of his moves. Maybe fans would have wanted to be a little bit more aggressive in free agency, maybe address a few more things, maybe spread the dollars out more than just spending it all on Josh Hader offseason. But overall, I think we've been pretty happy. But this would be, if Cam Smith doesn't handle the pitching well, has a setback in his development, and or quote-unquote, you know, let's go the extreme, it ruined his development, this would definitely be the biggest stain on Dana Brown's resume so far.
I don't think any of it falls on Espada.
Not even like 1%? I'm not even saying a large amount. I'm saying, you know, 80-20.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I think the GM's responsible. And, like, will he have a conversation with Espada? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But the general manager is responsible for young players' promotion, demotion. Like, this is 100% Dana Brown. This is Dana Brown's call. And, like, maybe he'll be right. I hope he's right. I do like Cam Smith, the player. I think Cam Smith's going to be good.
How good?
Yeah, it's because people don't know what they're talking about. You don't know what you don't know. I heard that somewhere once or twice before.
I don't know.
Before.
Yeah, that's a new one.
We don't know how it's going to go. I do believe that Cam Smith's going to be a good player. I love everything I hear about him. I love his approach at the plate. I love his play discipline. Like, he's a dude that walks. He's a guy who doesn't strike out much. He's an athlete. It seems like he has his head on his shoulders because he listens to Bob Marley and he meditates. I listened to his little scrum that he had in the dugout yesterday, and he was like, yeah, I took notes all spring training. Like, which young dudes do that? Where, like, they have a notepad, and they're picking the brains of Jose Altuve, and they're like, okay, this is what you do before games to get you going. Like, that's a dude that's pretty sophisticated. So I've liked everything I've heard about Cam Smith. Now, is it bold for him to make his major league debut after he's had just 5 games above the high A level? Of course it is. It is a bold, courageous move. Now, is bold, courageous mean wrong? No. And only time will tell. And look, we go back 2 weeks ago. I could have went either way on this. Like, I understand Cam Smith's a super prospect. Best prospect you got. He looks the part. He does lengthen this lineup. I would get excited if he makes the opening day roster. On the other hand, I completely understand not wanting to call a guy up after he's played just 5 games above high A ball. I could have went either way. Now that they've made the announcement, I'm excited. I'm 10 toes down. I'm ready to go. But it is not a guarantee. It is not a lock. We'll see how he performs.
Yeah, I like you calling it bold, because I don't think, I mean, look, there would have been some of us in media, there would definitely have been some fans who would have been disappointed had he not made the opening day, you know, roster. But I don't think anyone would have actually crushed Dana Brown for it. Like, let's say they went the more conservative path, I think a path that a lot of us had called for. You know, send him down to AAA, let him crush it for a month, and bring him up in May. Like, if that was the case, I don't think anyone would have crushed them for it, because, again, 5 starts above the AA level, or above the single A level, that is. So it is a bold, courageous move, where, going back to the topic from yesterday, will definitely make either Dana Brown either look like a genius or, you know, like an idiot, because this is... It's definitely the road less traveled for Cam Smith. I can't think of many guys, or really any guys, in the Astros system that have come up quicker than Cam Smith. I mean, for years, this is going back to, you know, earlier regimes that didn't involve Dana Brown, but we would often criticize the Astros for, you know, like Hunter Pence, waiting until he's like 24 to come up. And that was kind of the norm for them. So to come up this fast is definitely going against the grain, and something that's going to open them up for easy criticism if it goes wrong. So this is a situation where, I mean, he's got to be right, because there's no way back from this if you're wrong.
Yeah. Now, I think there are, and maybe we'll talk about this next segment. Now, like, I don't think that it's fair to use the entire Astros history as the way that this front office is conducting business, right? Like, you can't look at what Jerry Hunsaker, Tim Perpura, Ed Way, Jeff Luno, their philosophy on calling players up and attach that to Dana Brown. Like, to me, you have to separate each front office and all of their regimes. So you're right, this is against the grain to what the Astros have done in franchise history, but I don't think that you should lump in a general manager with past general managers. And it's, look, Dana Brown, whenever he got the job, like, we're not scared to call guys up quickly, and they have done that. Like, Jake Bloss made his big league debut less than a year after he was drafted. Now, it wasn't the opening day the next year. You're right. This is kind of unprecedented when it comes to the Houston Astros, even under Dana Brown. But Dana Brown told us, and you always have to be careful with what he's telling us, but Dana Brown told us that he is not scared of moving young players quickly through the system. He has done it. Jake Bloss is the example. And now he's doing it again. So this is his MO. Like, Dana Brown's MO is he is not scared. Like, he is going to call players up at record-breaking speed, it seems like, or at least franchise record-breaking speed. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We'll get your thoughts on what you make of Cam Smith making the opening day roster. What are they going to call the right field sections now that Cam Smith is the Astros' everyday right fielder? What did they used to call it with Tucker? Like, I don't even remember. But what are we going to call it now?
Yeah, I don't remember either.
We got to come up with a creative nickname. And what would be an acceptable rookie year? Like, if we're going to criticize Dana Brown if Cam Smith does not perform at a rookie, what does that season look like? Because I do think that it is a little forgiving. I do think there is the built-in excuse, like young player and making a jump. I do think that there is a leeway there when it comes to Cam Smith. Busy show, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Brian at Sacked by BMAC on the Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. You can watch us on the Twitter as well at ESPN 975. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Look, it is March. It is the season. You have in the college game the tournament going on now. Everybody loves them some basketball this time of year. Before we know it, at the pro level, they're going to be in the playoffs as well. You probably have a kid who loves sports, loves basketball, that wishes that he had a goal in his driveway. And if you're going to do that, don't go cheap. Don't go to the big box store and waste your money or time on that. Get a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. Tempered glass backboard, breakaway rim, stainless steel hardware. It's height adjustable, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. And it is rust proof, which is critical in Houston with the humidity that we had, that we have. Their new goal, Thor, you can raise and lower the goals with a drill. Lightning adjust feature, they call it. You can get anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Easy to do, and it's fun to do. Their accessories, next level as well. LED light kits for night play. You're at work. Kids are in school. You can only play at night. It's about to be very hot during the day in Houston. You only want to play at night. Get some LED light kits. They'll take care of that. Backstop nets. You don't have to chase the basketball around. And lots, lots more. You can order everything, including professional installation, online. Yes, the pros at Pro Dunk Hoops professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't lift a finger. Let the pros at Pro Dunk do the work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822, 281-351-9822, and visit them online at produnk.com. That's produnk.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD, 97.9 HD2.
Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. BMACers in for Blankers today. Blankers got some stuff going on.
Still doesn't work.
The Astros have, I'll be the judge of that. I'll leave it to the talent, Brian. The Astros have made it official. Cam Smith, according to Ari Alexander, Cam Smith is going to be on the Astros opening day roster, which, look, he's been batting fifth and sixth these last 2 days in what has been a dress rehearsal for the opening day, which comes up on Thursday. So no surprise. And we've had multiple talking heads that have discussed it as well. 713-780-ESPN. What are we going to call the right field sections now that Cam Smith is the Astros' permanent everyday right fielder? What are the fair expectations that you would accept? What is acceptable for Cam Smith in his rookie year where Dana Brown doesn't look bad? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line first, though. Israel, you're in the Hive. What's up, Israel? Israel?
To the city. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. We got you now.
Okay. I want to welcome Cam to the city. You know what I mean? They call it killer Cam section. You know what I'm saying? You about
like
to kill that ball. You know what I mean? 6'5", man. 6'5", with that pop. You know what I'm saying? He faced the same pitching that everybody in preseason or spring ball did, and he got the four dingers. Everybody in the lineup. Now, I understand he haven't done it on this level in the major leagues yet. But
yeah.
What Dana and some of the guys see, you know, that the scouts, and he can hit, bro. He can hit, and he's disciplined at the plate. And also, let's talk about that defensive play he made in right field, even though he's just now starting in that. He made a great defensive play, and I think he's going to do great. And not only that, he's going to bring another – the guy's going to be coming to see him play. 50, though. 50, Bum B. Dana going to have all the guys up in there. They come to see him, and, you know, we just excited to have him. And thanks for letting me get that off my chest, man.
Of course. Appreciate it, Israel. I like that. Killer Cam. I'm down with that because it's going to kill the baseball. What do you think of that? Great, Brian.
Yeah, I give that like an 8.5, 9.
Okay.
That's pretty good. I had another idea, but I mean, I don't think it's as good as Killer Cam. But,
yeah.
You know, they've been calling Cam Smith the aircraft carrier, right? So
yes.
What about the section right next to him being called the flight deck?
Okay. The flight deck. How do we feel about
that? I know.
That?
It's a little vanilla. I knew it before I said it, and Israel beat me to it.
Yeah, I don't think Israel would have came up with the flight deck.
No, well, I did say vanilla. But yeah, I think Killer Cam is probably better.
Yeah, I like that one. And I agree with Israel. Like, I'm excited for this. Like, if I were making the call, I probably wouldn't have done this. I probably would have started him off in the minors, let him play right field a bit, get used to it, maybe buy that extra year of service time. I probably would have played it that way. But again, go back to what I said 2 weeks ago. I can go either way on this because it is exciting. You have one of the better prospects in all of baseball who is going to lengthen this lineup. That's there's more reason to watch, like Israel said. Like, do I want to see 550 plate appearances of Cam Smith or 550 plate appearances of Chaz McCormick and Ben Gamble platooning?
Right.
Like, give me Cam Smith. Like, it's way more exciting. And look, like, I want to watch. I want to be entertained. So who cares about that final year of service time, right? And then also, like, you trust Dana Brown to make the right decision, whether it's an extension early, whether it's trading him like he traded Kyle Tucker, if the market dictates that. So I'm totally okay with this. I could have went either way. This is very exciting. I am very interested to see what this looks like now over the next 162. So Killer Cam's what Israel said.
Yep.
What else do we have on the text line? Cam's Kraken Corner from Big Art. Yeah, a little wordy.
I like the
alliteration.
Yeah, I think they tried a little too hard with the alliteration.
Yeah, I think they did. I vote they waited a month, then bring him up. No point in losing a year of team control, but what do I know? See, I'm probably more on that side.
Well,
but
team
again,
control
excited.
Would have meant holding him back for longer than just 1 month, though, right?
Probably at least two.
Yeah.
Probably at least two.
Yeah, we've had this conversation and had the conversation on the weekend as well. I was more on the side of let him get April in AAA. Make sure he can – like, make sure this rolls through. You know, because we saw the report, I think it was from Chandler Rome, early in the spring training, like halfway through. I think at the time he'd only had 2 home runs. And at that point, like the average pitching he'd face was like AA or less. So it really wasn't – I mean, this feels like nitpicking, and I don't mean to. But it really didn't show what he could do against Major League competition. But those next 2 home runs came off of Major League relievers, and that overall average of pitcher that he faced has continually gone up as spring training went on. But I'd want to see just for, you know, maybe 3 weeks, maybe all of April, can he keep it rolling in Sugarland and then call him up in May? I'm not as worried about service time, although I get that thought process. But I just want to make sure and come up that it's not too much too soon. Because, again, 5 at-bats above single A. He was drafted last year. Let's just not set him back.
Yeah. Now, it is – I mean, they've made the decision. So, like, I don't want to sit here and go, you know, history here. Like, I'm going to be excited about it. I'm going to go I'm 10 toes down. I'm diving headfirst into Cam Smith being the Astros opening day right fielder. And let's see how this goes. So I am excited about it. 713-780-ESPN. Eric says we'll be very Astros to start Chaz game one and Wright instead of Cam. They ain't doing that.
They did sit Chaz for the first two games coming off his heroic catch in the World Series.
Chaz so. Ain't Cam, brother.
I'm agreeing with you that they're not doing it. I'm just saying they've done wonky things like this before.
Branham, how do you feel about Lance's take about you this morning? A lion doesn't worry about the opinion of a sheep. Texter, call it the Cam quarters. That's not bad. Like quarters with a Q. Like these are our quarters, but it kind of sounds like Cam quarter. I don't know like what that means, actually.
I'd rather Cam's corner, C-O-R-N-E-R.
Cam's corner instead of Cam's quarters?
Yeah, quarters. Like I get what they're saying. Like it's, but I don't think that flows.
He's calling
well.
It quarters because he's going to drop 25 homers as a rookie, Brian.
Why are you setting the bar so low? I thought Lance was right about you. You are a hater. 25 home runs.
Who was the guy making a case that Cam Smith has a better chance to lead the Astros in home runs than Jose Altuve? That was me.
Well, your pick is certainly looking a lot better than it did when you made it. Yes. Well done on that.
Yeah, exactly. Someone trademarked Cam's Coast and split the profit with me. Aircraft carrier Cam needs his own coast to call home, says 409 Josh. You like Cam's Coast?
I like it better than the Cam's Quarters.
Cam's Coast actually has a little bit of play on the whole like aircraft carrier, too.
Yeah.
Because he's got to, take off and land in the coast, right?
Yeah, sure. He's protecting the coast.
Texter says Cam's Corner. Okay. Solid. Basic, but solid. I need some education on what's so hard about baseball that you have to wait to come to the big leagues. What other sports does this? No other sports does it, but hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports.
Absolutely.
And making the jump from, like, even Division I college baseball, and Cam Smith played at Florida State, and the ACC is very good. You go face college baseball pitching, and then go face Garrett Crochet. Go face Hunter Brown. Go face Framber Valdez. So you need build up to being able to handle that type of pitching. You can't go from seeing Division I college pitching to some of the very best pitchers in the entire world. That's why it ruins you, because you have some struggles against that, and then you can never recover. So you have to be kind of babied into it, for a lack of a better word, and then it works the same way on the other side. Like if you're a pitcher, like you go face Division I college baseball players to facing the Yordan Alvarezes of the world, it's much, much different. So you do have to be eased into it, developed into it, kind of gradually get to that point. So that's why you see it in baseball and not any other sports.
Yeah, there's to second your opinion, I don't think there's anything harder to do in any sport then hit a round ball with a round bat squarely. And especially when it's moving 100 miles an hour with bend and with drops. So, I mean, I push back a little bit to the textures, like, well, no other sport does this. I mean, college football, guys are required to play 3 years before they could come into the NFL. Obviously, in baseball, you could come directly from high school or you can go to college. But that is kind of the college football, especially now with now they're getting paid, is basically minor league sports at this point.
Yeah, it is, but it's still a very different talent level.
Sure.
There's no doubt about that. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HR.
Caller just dropped, sorry.
Oh, okay. Thank you for waiting on us, Jack. My goodness, it was 2 minutes. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What are realistic expectations where Dana Brown does not get crushed for calling up Cam Smith? What are the numbers in the rookie year that are acceptable? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're looking to escape the city for a little bit of rest and relaxation, I have the spot for you. You want to get away from the stress and anxiety of the work week? I have just the spot for you. The boss is being a little bit too strict this week? Well, I have just the spot for you. It's Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the week, escape the job, escape the city, escape whatever is ailing you, and enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book your stay today at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com. Open green spaces, wildlife that is just so peaceful, and beautiful, majestic trees. Some of the best fishing in Texas, too, if that's more your lane. Drop the line in the water and catch some beautiful fish. It's just 90 minutes from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. That's the hard part about vacation or travel, is that you're getting away for 2, 3, 4 days, and you're spending a quarter of that time, half of that time, traveling to your destination. Well, stop doing that. use more of your time for more of the rest and relaxation. So just an hour and a half away from city, from downtown Houston, at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Hike on their 92-acre property, kayaking, pickleball courts, or how about just hanging out by the pool to drink? Two Creeks Crossing Resort also loves to take care of their visitors. A barbecue cook-off one week and a crawfish boil the next. You're always going to have a great time at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. From glamping to cabins to tree houses, just pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everyone. Book your weekend escape now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
713-780-ESPN. What are we calling right field now that Cam Smith's the everyday right fielder officially? Also, what is the acceptable season? Like the floor. What is an okay enough year where we're not blasting Dana Brown for calling him up too soon? 713-780-3776. What is the number for you, B-Mackers?
Yeah, I was thinking. Oh, I still hate that. I was thinking about that during the break. I would put it. I don't want to go too optimistic on the power, even though I do agree that his power has the potential to be someone that hits 25 or 30. But I think a respectable OPS, let's say, I don't know, right around 800 with about 18 bombs and a good amount of runs batted in, I'll take that. So maybe let's call it 18 home runs, 75 RBI. With a respectable OPS around 800, that to me would be the line.
800,
yeah,
that's high.
I mean, it is high, but I mean, we wouldn't call players that are below 800 good offensive players. I think he's got to be a good offensive player
as a rookie.
Yeah,
first ever in the I think that's lofty for his rookie year. Like,
what's your number?
I mean, I'm willing to go as low as like a 230 average. Give me like a 750 OPS. Hit over 15 home runs.
Yeah, I'm with
like
you on
that,
15.
That, to me, like, play solid defense. Like, don't be a liability in right field, which, you know, we had Israel called in. He made that fine play in right, which it was. The second opportunity he had, kind of lunging into the wall, had to navigate the track in the wall. That was a good play. Now, the first opportunity he had was not. Misplayed a ball in right field, you know, natural slice off a righty's bat. That was hit pretty well. So, kind of inexperienced. I'm not saying that he's a bad defender, just the inexperience of the position showed on that play. But then, like, an inning or two later, he made the same exact play. So, it's like, oh, he's already learning. No, I feel like my realistic expectations. I'm talking about to where I'm not blasting Dana Brown. Like, I'm not predicting Cam Smith's season. I'm saying if Cam Smith produces these numbers, I will not bash Dana Brown. But if if Cam Smith does less than that, then I'm going to be questioning Dana Brown calling up Cam Smith too soon. That's why I am being low. I'm not predicting his year. I'm trying to tell you what if he produces this line, Dana gets a pass. The baseline floor of Dana Brown getting a pass.
So, okay.
Because
so
that's the question here. The question calling up Cam Smith is, are they doing it too soon? That is the biggest story with Cam Smith being called up. Is Dana Brown being too optimistic about Cam Smith and calling him up way too soon? That is the lingering question that's going to surround this decision for 162 games. So what is your baseline floor of letting Dana Brown off the hook, depending on the season that Cam Smith has?
Yeah, I'm going to I'd be willing. Look, I think if I misphrased this, then my apologies. But I thought I said near 800. It doesn't have to be exactly 800. Like 780, I'm not killing Dana Brown over.
That's a great rookie year.
It is, but I was curious because my initial thought when you asked the question is, give me George Springer's rookie year. So I was curious if my memory of George Springer's rookie year was accurate. Now, his rookie year was a little short, only 78 games. Next year, it went up to 102. But that rookie year in 2014, his OPS was 804. The next year when he played over 100, it was 826. So I don't think – I mean, maybe it's lofty. Maybe
he also had 10 years in the minors.
Oh, come on. He didn't have 10 years. He was drafted at 11, came up at 14.
That's a while. People were banging on – and the Astros were getting a lot of grief for not calling up Springer sooner.
He certainly had way more – I mean, no argument. He had way more time.
That's 3 years. Cam has less – 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, he had part of 11, then full years in 2012 and 2013. So it's really two and, you know, some change. It's more so than it's 3 years. But it is. I mean, it is definitely way more than Cam Smith has. So I'm willing to, you know, accept less than 800, accept less than 780. Let's just call it 750 to pick a nice round number. But I don't think it's unrealistic to think he could get to those George Springer numbers, which, again, was an 804 OPS in his rookie season.
713-780-ESPN. What is your baseline? Hunter Pence had a stupid rookie year. 322 average, 899 OPS.
Batting ever certainly didn't stick.
Pence and Springer both also made their major league debut at the age of 24, which is 2 years older than Cam Smith, who is the age of 22. Altuve at 21 made his big league debut. He played in 57 games, 234 plate appearances. He had a 276 average with a 654 OPS. In 234 plate appearances, and now is the greatest Astro ever. So, like,
different
that's
profile,
why,
though.
Both offensive minded.
Yeah, like, but Altuve doesn't have the slug with the amount of power that would have the same OPS expectations that a Cam Smith or a George Springer would have.
But certainly not as a rookie. No, he wouldn't have that. Craig Biggio was another one who came up, wasn't very good as a rookie. Bregman was not good early, but actually finished pretty strong. He ended up with like a 790 OPS his rookie year.
Yeah, didn't he start off like 1-for-28 or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was 1-for-30. I went to his first game. He flew out to the warning track with the bases loaded. I was like, oh, yeah, it's gone. We're going to watch the first ever hit for Bregman. It's going to be a long ball. And then he got caught at the track. But no, I don't have crazy expectations. Like, be better than Chaz McCormick, and it's an upgrade to what you're going to have in right. Plus, I was terrified of Chaz McCormick playing right field because of the arm. So, like, that also helps on that sense as well.
Chaz was so bad, though, that I'm not going to settle just for being better than Chaz, though. I mean, he was, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't call it historically bad last year, but Chaz was downright awful. I mean, I think we got to set the bar higher than just be better than Chaz.
No. If Cam Smith is better than Chaz McCormick, the Astros are better because you're benching Chaz to play Cam. I know it's not the bar of how we're grading Cam or how we're going to grade Dana Brown. It's kind of a different conversation, to be fair.
Okay.
But it's an upgrade. Like, if he's better than Chaz's expectations, the team is better. It lifts the team. And however much better is how much it lifts the team. Cam Smith hits 25 bombs and 80 RBIs. Is it a successful season? 100%.
Oh, easily.
That's rookie of the year conversation, yeah. Too. Which, by the way, that is kind of like a difference in the calculus here. Is like we talk about the Astros in the past when they weren't as good, manipulating service time with George Springer. They manipulated his service time. They really kind of manipulated Pence's as well. The Astros weren't good then, so whatever, manipulate all the service time you want, wait for the team to be good before you actually have him playing the bulk of his career with Houston. But what has changed now as well versus then is you get compensation if one of your players, I forget the term that they use for it, but like a top 100 prospect that wins Rookie of the Year or is in MVP Cy Young voting, you can get draft pick compensation. So, yes, the Astros are probably losing a year of service here unless they sign him before he's a free agent. But if he wins Rookie of the Year, probably lofty, but if he wins Rookie of the Year, the Astros do get a pick at the end of the first round. So that is something to monitor as well, where you trade the year of service, but you could potentially get another pretty dang good prospect should he win the Rookie of the Year, which, I mean, that would be a huge success.
Yeah, I wouldn't make the decision because of that or even have it as my tiebreaker. Like, I mean, like the scenario where he stunts his growth because this is too much too soon isn't worth a first-round pick, in my opinion, because then you're just, in the best-case scenario, if you ruin Cam Smith, you're just replacing what you ruined with the first-round pick. So it'd be like an even swap. You're not really gaining in that scenario. But it is a nice perk. And,
right.
And if you think he's ready, then there's no point in waiting till, you know, April 16th if you think he's ready now because of what you mentioned with the extra perk of possibly getting a compensation first.
You're right. Like, it wouldn't be part of my decision making. It's just a perk is what I think you described it perfectly. King of Twitch says acceptable Cam, 760 OPS and 25 bombs. Like, that's lofty to me.
25
like,
bombs is lofty.
That's lofty.
I don't think the OPS is, but I would be fine with like 18 to 20 home runs.
Yeah, I would too. Over 15 for me is fine. For a rookie at 22 years old that's played five games above high A ball, like, I'm being realistic with this. Anything less than that, I'm going to be bashing Dana Brown that he called him up too soon. Do the Astros hit the over on 86.5 wins? I think so, but I'm a homer, so take that into account. If he's our best option in the outfield, I don't think it matters when he's brought up. Maybe it's more of the lack of depth in the farm in big leagues. That's what Dana needs to be looked at more in depth with. I mean, you do have to kind of think big picture at time as well. Eric's saying we can call the right field corner the Smithsonian.
Ooh, that's not bad.
Smithsonian's pretty good.
That's not bad. I think that might be the leader in the clubhouse.
Smithsonian's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
All right, what are we calling the right field corner now that Cam Smith is the everyday right fielder? And what is the baseline? What is acceptable for year one as a rookie for Cam Smith to where we're not bashing Dana Brown? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Baseline for Cam Smith to we're not criticizing Dana Brown at the end of the year for calling Cam Smith up too soon. 713-780-ESPN. Rocky says, who cares about an extra year of service time, really? And genuine question, why? Well, do you want a good player for an extra year or not, really is what it comes down to for me. Now, the Astros are in a much different spot now than they were whenever we went through this with George Springer. Like, it's much easier to do it whenever you're bad, like the Astros were whenever they decided not to call up George Springer, and then they bought an extra year on the backside where they were really good. Whenever you have a team that's expected to be the playoffs, like, I don't really care too much about service time manipulation. It's not as prudent to do. Now, if you're bad, why waste a year of a good player whenever you can, you know, hold them back for 3 months to buy an extra year? Now, if you have a playoff caliber team, I don't care about it nearly as much. That's why I'm not as staunch saying that Cam Smith should have been in the minors, because the Astros are expected to be good, and if this can make the playoff caliber team better, then it makes sense to do. Here was Cam Smith over at Minute Maid Park a moment ago, which, by the way, real quick. Joe Espada has announced that Cam Smith will be in right field on Thursday as well. So that kind of dismisses the Eric thing. Watch him start Chaz McCormick in right, even though Cam Smith made the team. Espada has already announced that Cam Smith will be in right field to start on Thursday. Just more reason to get out to the ballpark for opening day. Cam Smith will be making his big league debut. Secondly, Zach DiZinzo has also made the team. So Zach DiZinzo has made the team. Chaz McCormick has made the team. Cooper Hummel is being sent down. So the whole Joe Espada, I want my young players to get every day at bats, I don't think you're getting Zach DiZinzo every day at bats, because there is not a position for him to start. Now, maybe they can go Blanker's idea, and they probably will, where he starts once a week in left, right, first, third. Maybe you give him a DH start here and there as well. But not every day at bats for Zach DiZinzo does make the team, though. Here was Cam Smith moments ago, this courtesy of Ari Alexander, in tears after he got the news that he'll be making the opening day roster.
Yeah, I always thought it was possible. You know, I think I had a great group of guys around me to help me out to get here today. So I always saw it as a possibility, you know, for it to happen. And, you know, we're here today talking about it now, so I'm very blessed.
I know this is very emotional for you, but just the special nature of having your mom deliver that. You said you broke down, but can you just take us through the idea that she would be the one, after all she did for you, to tell you that you made the major leagues?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You know, at one point it was just me and her in the house. She struggled to take me to baseball games and practice, and I'm just happy to do it for her.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Cam Smith emotional in his big league call-up. There's some mean Twitchers that are blaming or criticizing Cam for crying.
Oh, come on.
It's a big deal. It's emotional. He's been working his whole life for this.
Supposed to be robots?
You Twitch. I mean, you live in your parents' basement, and you're getting you're critical of a guy who's making the bids.
In his underwear, living in his mother's basement.
That guy shouldn't be crying. He's worked his whole life to be a big leaguer, and he works hard. He shouldn't be crying as I type this from my mother's basement.
Probably
with my no-job self.
Criticize a guy for missing a couple games to be at his kid's delivery when, like, in the middle of May. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I like emotion. I'm a big fan of emotion. I emote all the time. I'm a big.
I wouldn't disagree
proponent.
With that part.
I like the emote. As long as Cam Smith has one more home run, RBI, and hit over Kyle Tucker, then it's a successful season. That's way
too
lofty.
That's a high bar.
That's way too lofty.
Especially Kyle when the wind starts blowing out.
I mean, he could be an MVP kind of guy. Like, and if Cam Smith doesn't have an MVP type of year, it's not a successful year. Come on now.
I mean, Kyle Tucker was one home run from a 30-30 year 2 years ago, plus he's a Gold Glove caliber defender. That's an awfully high bar.
If he doesn't get hurt last year, there's a decent chance. I mean, the MVP was pretty out there, but he would have finished top three in MVP voting.
Yeah,
he
was
didn't get
at
hurt.
The time he got hurt, which was first week of June. He was in top three, top five consideration for sure.
What are we calling the right field corner? Risk says the Camelot.
It's not bad. I like the Smithsonian better, but Camelot's not. It's not bad.
Smithsonian might be my favorite so far.
I think so. I think Smithsonian's the leader in the clubhouse for me, but Camelot's not bad. I don't want to dismiss it, but I'd prefer Smithsonian.
Texter says those Twitchers are just mad that no one will cry at their funerals.
I like it. Mean, but I like it.
Yogi Berra said you better go to people's funerals or they won't go to yours.
Yeah,
one of my favorite Yogi.
Yogi quotes are amazing. You
still
can read those
kid.
All day.
Yeah, I know. Cam Smith will have to clear the book hurdle. Feel like there's a month of free play before the scouting report gets tied in. That's what will separate him. That's true. Now, I do like his discipline at the plate. Like, that's going to help. You know, maybe he doesn't chase the sliders off the plate, things like that. Camosphere for the right field corner.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Not bad. I feel
like
there should be
Smithsonian, but
and it's hard to do it without a T. I think Camosphere. Like, I feel like there needs to be a T in that somewhere, and there can't be because it's Cam Smith. So that one's tough. A texter, I am curious about DeZinzo, who would think he should get everyday at bats, and that would happen in left field and play Altuve at second. Get Altuve is no good defensively, but are you really going to hit Dubon or Rogers over DeZinzo? I think to start the year, yes. Now, I do think Altuve playing second base is more in question now, depending on how DeZinzo and Cam Smith perform. Because if DeZinzo is, like, producing and Dubon and Rogers are not, and it's like, okay, well, we need to get our best offense on the field at least some of the time. Maybe not all the time, but at least some of the time. I do think that we could potentially see Altuve at second base more than we thought. You know, maybe when Hunter Brown's not pitching or Framber Valdez isn't pitching, like Spencer Arrighetti's a fly ball guy, so you can kind of hide Altuve's defense at second behind a fly ball pitcher. And maybe we see that because, I mean, Espada has kind of went back and forth on what he said. He's like, yeah, we still want him to get spot starts at second. He says he wants him to play primarily one position. He also said that he wants his young players to get everyday at-bats. So I don't know how much stock to put into Joe Espada right now, but I see where you're coming from, Texter. Like, it makes sense for Altuve to start some games, maybe not all, maybe not behind Framber and Hunter Brown at second base to get DeZinzo's bat in the lineup over Dubon or Rogers if they're struggling. I think that Espada is going to give those two guys a shot, though. I think they're going to have a runway of about a month or two to see if they can get going offensively before you see something like that.
I definitely think it's more likely than not that their best offensive lineup includes DeZinzo. I mean, we know who Dubon is at this point. He's not a plus offensive player. I mean, obviously, I don't have any thought that Chaz or, you know, whoever else you want to throw in the outfield rotation is suddenly going to be proven to be a plus offensive player. I think your best option outside of what you said, and I completely agree, I'm not putting out Tuvi at second when Framber starts, and I'm not putting him at second when Hunter Brown starts because those are ground ball pitchers and you need your best defense out there. But when everyone else is on the mound, I think it's open game, especially as you get towards the back end of the rotation where you're dealing with guys who are more likely to give up more runs than Framber and Hunter. You might need more offense to win a game. I think if DeZinzo is proving that he can hit as what he, I guess what he starts as maybe as a super utility guy, then your best offensive lineup, once you figure that out, probably mid-April to May, should include DeZinzo as an every part, everyday type of player.
Yeah. Maybe it's just 50-50. Like, maybe it depends on who your starting pitcher is. Like, it makes some sense. Okay, Fromber, Hunter Brown, they're pitching. Altuve, you play left this day. Arrigetti, Blanco, Wisniewski, which I don't really know Wisniewski's profile, if he's a ground ball or fly ball guy. But those guys, okay, Altuve, you're going to play second. Like, it's not ideal on how you'd want to use Altuve, but whenever you're looking at getting your offense out there, your best nine, it makes some sense. And then also factoring in defense behind your aces. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jerry, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's going on, Jerry?
Look, I do want to applaud the Astros for putting Cam on the major league roster. I think, you have to put your best nine out there. I understand people are going to say, oh, you start his clock too early. Oh, well, it doesn't matter because, one, eventually you'll either re-sign him and rebuild him if our window ends up closing in 4 or 5 years, or just like the Astros have done with Correa and Springer and whatnot, because you're going to eventually let him walk. So, doesn't matter about his clock. And the second thing is, I'm tired of seeing Altuve in that field. Put him back in second base because Dubon did great in left field. He made some spectacular catches in Baltimore. And I forget another catch he did, but just put Dubon in left field.
Jerry,
let me ask you a question real quick.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You think Dubon's better defensively than Altuve at both positions, left and second?
I just think Dubon can catch a blooper on left field.
I agree with you. I think Dubon's better at both spots. Which position do you think is more important, second or left?
I'd say second base.
So why wouldn't you play your better defensive player at second?
I don't get paid millions to decide that, but I've seen Altuve for 11 years in the infield, so why not put, just keep going with that. If they want to put Dubon in second base, then so be it. But one way or another, they have to get an actual outfielder out there, whether it becomes a trade deadline, because I just don't see Altuve or Dubon. It doesn't matter where we go in left field working out.
All right. Appreciate the call, Jerry. Today's not a day that I want to argue Altuve, Dubon, left field, second base. I do think it makes some sense to split the time of Jose Altuve. But if you think Jose Altuve is a bad left fielder, you also have to understand that Jose Altuve is a bad second baseman. And to me, you can hide a guy better in left than you can at second. I think he's going to be bad at both spots. And where is he going to cost you less? I think most days it's in left. Maybe some days with fly ball guys that's at second. I don't like the idea of him being a 100% left fielder. But I do applaud the idea of playing him in left field, especially behind your ground ball guys. So, difference of opinion there. But today's Cam Smith Day. Today is Cam Smith Day. He's been given the news. He will be the Astros' opening day right fielder come Thursday. What are your expectations for Cam? What is a passable year to where we don't criticize Dana Brown? And then what are we calling right field now? King Tucker had all the crowns out there in right field. What are we doing for Cam Smith? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.